This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Another great show lined up for everybody. And again, in the second hour, we will be featuring KER Politics. This week sure was a busy one, especially on Thursday, with three different major news stories. So an interesting number of topics that we are going to talk about on this week's show. But to start off this show, I have Jesse Felder. He is the founder and editor of The Felder Report, a website that I highly recommend you check out. Jesse posts on a weekly basis, but covers a wide range of topics. Jesse also joined me on Wednesday for a daily editorial to break down some of the moves that we saw in the precious metals. Jesse, the topic that we're going to talk about in this segment is passive investing. We have seen over the last number of years money just almost indiscriminately flow into passive ETFs. But recently we started to see a change over the past 2 months. A bit more money has started to flow into this active ETFs. We'll talk about that later. But initially, something that you brought up to me is that passive investing, it's actually changed over the past number of years, and you have some concerns about how it's changed. Can you please explain?
Yeah, I think this is a totally underreported topic that my friend Stephen Bregman brought to my attention recently. Stephen's done a whole bunch of research about this, and he pointed out that in the mid-2000s, about 10 years ago, the indexes ran into a problem with money flowing into these passive indexes, that the smaller, more illiquid components, they couldn't put money into those stocks without disrupting the market. So they changed to a float-adjusted methodology. So this is companies that have large insider ownership, that have low float, have been dramatically under-owned by the indexes, less so than they would be just based on market cap methodology. And I think most investors don't understand really what this means, because if you look at historically, a huge part of the returns for the S&P 500 in these indexes come from owner-operated companies. So companies like, you know, Intel, when Andy Grove was running the company, he owned a huge stake. And if you had been a passive investor owning a float-adjusted index, you would own a hell of a lot less Intel back in the day, because Andy Grove owned so much of it and the other insiders. Walmart, Microsoft, all these companies would have had much lower weightings in a passive ETF today than they would have, you know, if you had just done a market cap version weighted of the index. So basically, investors today do not own the historical indexes of the returns that they're looking back at. You know, you look at 20, 30, 40 years of returns of the S&P 500, that has nothing to do with the product that you own today when you go buy your Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund or your Schwab Total Stock Market Index Fund, because these owner-operated companies have been become such small components of the index just because of their liquidity and float. For me, something that I've studied for a long period of time, my entire career is insider ownership and insider buying and selling. And one of the best signs you can see is a company whose management thinks the stock is cheap. They already own a ton of stock. They want to buy more. Maybe they're buying back stock too. They're essentially reducing the float out there, which is good for investors. Well, the way that the passive products work structurally is when that happens, one of the most bullish things that can happen for an investor, they start reducing the allocation to that stock. So they're selling when insiders are buying. Now, conversely, let's say, you know, you have a stock like Facebook where the insiders are selling hand over fist today, and that's creating more float, more liquidity in the shares. Investors in passive indexes are essentially buying from the insiders who are selling to a massive degree. So, you know, same token, a company does a secondary offering and issuing more stock, diluting the shareholders. Passive indexes are going to increase the ownership of that stock in the index. So this structural change that happened 10 years ago causes a couple of interesting things. One is that you don't own a lot of these terrific companies or as much as you should own. And when you look at historical performance of market cap weighted indexes, it doesn't have nearly the bearing on what you, the products that you own today if you're a passive investor.
So, Jesse, I've argued for a while now that passive investing is not positive for the markets. It's not necessarily positive for the investors because it is taking such a broad look at the markets. And yes, it does help you be a little bit diversified, but passive investing compared to active investing, I'm a huge subscriber of going out and actually picking stocks on a number of different metrics. And what you're telling me, or what it seems like to me, is that even these passive investing ETFs, they're doing even less work now, and they're isolating even more stocks that they can buy and that they're taking out of the equation. Do you think that we will continue to see maybe more money flow into some active ETFs? Because in May, we saw $665 million of market share gain for active investing ETFs, and that is still way behind passive investing ETFs, but still, maybe a change is coming. Maybe this will be, I would argue, better for investors and the market if this continues.
It's going to take, there will be a shift in every bear market. You'll see, you know, so somebody made a point on Twitter, I can't remember who recently, that this money flowing into passive strategies is essentially a risk on, you know, behavior because you are essentially extending your timeline. You're not trying to be opportunistic in the markets at all. You're just saying I have a 20-year time frame or whatever. So extending your time frame is a way of, you know, adding risk. It's a risk-seeking behavior, and when you see, you know, I think it's going to take a bear market to see this risk-seeking shift in the other direction to a more conservative behavior, which is shifting to active, and active especially that allows for hedging, that allows for increasing cash positions to be more opportunistic, and I think, you know, it'll just take some type of bear market or some painful experience to disabuse people of the notion that passive is great for at any price and for all market environments.
So essentially, until people get burned, you think it's just going to continue down this road?
I do. You know, I think the move to passive is just a huge momentum trade. It's just like anything. The investors look at what's done the best over the last 3-5 years and allocate money to that. And so that's what they're looking at. They're looking at what's the best thing I could have done. Well, over the last 5 years, just put my money in SPY. So that's what I'm going to do.
Unfortunately, that is what a lot of investors have done. How do you, as an investor and with your subscribers, manage to avoid this almost herd mentality?
Well, you know, this is something else that I talked about with Stephen in a recent conversation that I posted to the Felder Report, is this structural shift in the indexes actually creates huge opportunities to look at securities that are ignored or shunned by passive strategies. So companies that are owner-operated, that have low float, huge insider ownership, maybe there's insider buying. You know, these are wonderful opportunities to find actually value in the markets today. It's the only area of value that I've found in the markets, and they're, you know, these opportunities are few and far between because there's so many different passive ETFs out there. But when you can find opportunities that are shunned by the indexes, they are unusually cheap and unusually attractive because of this, you know, like I said, insider buying, stock buybacks, and large insider ownership, which makes for low float, low liquidity. And you can actually go, I put, you know, on the post on my site, you can go screen for this. You can screen for stocks that have lower than average volume, higher than average insider ownership, and then by price to book value, and you can start to find some opportunities, things that have been ignored by the huge push to passive.
Well, very interesting comments, Jesse, and interesting to hear this change in passive investing, the strategies behind it. I was unaware of this, but again, it just further makes me believe that people should not be following into this herd mentality and actually looking for stocks and other maybe active ETFs that they believe are better value. Jesse, thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Thank you. weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I am joined by Chris Martinson. He is, as I always say, one of my favorite guests to the show. He is the co-founder and co-editor of PeakProsperity.com. And Chris, when you and I were talking off mic, I was bringing up a couple topics to you of what we could discuss in this segment. And you're currently writing on this general theme of signs of an impending downturn. I know that you, as well as a number of our other commentators, were always talking about some of the concerns that we have for the U.S. economy and for investors in general, but actually isolating some of these most important signs, I think, is crucial, because we, in a day-to-day basis, I think, can easily get bogged down by the amount of data that is thrown at us. So, Chris, to kick us off as a general comment, what are some of these signs that have you most concerned?
Well, let's start with the U.S. and Canada. In the United States, we see lots of late cycle behavior. We see auto sales have started to roll over pretty hard from their peaks that we saw a few months back. And lots of stress, of course, in the subprime auto lending market itself. We're seeing an increase in credit card delinquencies in the United States as well. We're also seeing that credit, consumer credit, was thought was going to really advance strongly and advance very weakly this last month. So, of course, if you're not borrowing and you're not spending, that's part of it. And as well, we're seeing in Canada, finally, I think in Toronto, a pretty clear sign that the real estate market, somebody blew that silent dog whistle that only dogs and buyers could hear, and the buyers went away. And so we're seeing inventory start to really climb very rapidly. Sales fell through the floor in this past month, and as well, prices came down month over month. So that's kind of how these things begin to happen. And, you know, for Canada, a massive housing bubble, and when that corrects and retreats, it's going to create a lot of pain for lenders and for consumers alike.
So, Chris, it's kind of scary, I would say, that if we're seeing, first of all, bubbles again in housing, all we needed was the housing bubble to bring down the economy and the market's last downturn, but we're also seeing these worries creep into, as you said, auto sales, credit card delinquencies. And another factor that I want you to look into is corporate and industrial loans. Both of these have been flat this whole year, and this, again, is a major driver. We need companies spending money, and they refuse to.
Well, then let's be fair, though. In the last 5 or 6 years, the C&I, the commercial and industrial loans, have just been ruler straight up and to the right, and it's been an absolutely massive increase. Corporations are carrying the highest levels of debt on their books, and they've sort of slowed down. But they're taking their signals from the consumer, I think, rightly so. You know, we're looking at vast amounts of retail and commercial sales space and office space that's really struggling at this point. Consumers are not out buying in the stores. Perhaps they're all buying through Amazon at this point in time, but we're seeing pretty good weakness in the consumer side. Again, not surprising at this particular stage of the story.
Now, Chris, I think we can all blame the central banks for blowing up some of these bubbles again and seemingly not learning their lesson from the last recession and last market collapse that we went through. And again, I think we can point to a number of different sectors that they have managed to prop up just in this cycle that we are currently, you could argue, late in the stage in. Why don't you think these central banks have learned their lesson and it seems like are only simply leading us down this road again?
You know, let me be generous and say that their plan, and I'm not sure they had one, but let me be generous. If their plan was to say, look, we're just going to cram financial and real estate assets higher in price under the theory that people will experience the wealth effect from that, will be more likely to open their purse strings and go shopping. That's the theory. They've been doing this, what, for 9 years now, going on 10 next year, I guess. And, you know, remember in 2016, early things really started to look like they, you know, the stock market had peaked, did nice head and shoulders. We had, you know, bear markets showing up in all sorts of emerging market stock markets. There was a huge amount of emerging market pain. The United States stock market was rolling over Europe. That was the context for early 2016. And then something happened early one February morning and everything went off. Well, now that we actually have charts that show the size of the central bank balance sheets, we can see that they were climbing fairly steadily until early 2016, and now they're climbing really steeply. So let me decode that. When a central bank balance sheet expands, when it gets larger, the way that happens is the central bank goes out into the market with thin air money and it buys financial assets, stocks, bonds, things like that, depending on the central bank. So they really, like this past couple of years has been astonishing, the fastest rate of money creation ever by central banks. They couldn't stomach a downturn then. I'm not sure if one would be better today. But we now, here in 2017, we're just a little over the halfway mark, and central banks, the big five, have expanded their balance sheets by $1.5 trillion. That's $1.5 trillion of new money that's gone out into the marketplaces to buy bonds and to buy stocks.
So, Chris, talking about what the central banks have done and what their focus is, the central banks do continue to say that they're looking at economic data, but the more that we follow along with their narrative and with their actual actions, it seems as though they're paying more attention to the equity markets rather than some of this underlying economic data that they almost seem unable to move. Do you think this is a concern as well, that they have maybe almost given up on this economic data and now just focus on the markets?
They're obviously very market dependent. They've admitted as much. They say it in code speak, and sometimes they say it more directly. Fed governors are a little bit more direct than the FOMC members, but they admit it, that when markets start to go down, they get nervous because they know they've created massive, what I call Franken markets. They're extremely stretched, very elevated. They could fall very painfully and disruptively if they don't sort of keep going. So, but then you have to ask, listen, you know, I understand why they did that. Remember, their plan was to just jam the assets up and then we would get this economic growth. Well, the data's in. You take the last 10 years of economic growth in the United States, it averages to 1.33%. By the way, that's the same amount that it averaged during the 30s, during the Great Depression. It's really subpar. And so at this part of the story, you have to say, why are you guys, you central bankers, increasing your balance sheets by the most record amounts ever when we have 10 years of data now saying that we're not having the economic growth that was supposed to be part B of your plan, the part that was supposed to come in and ride along? Now we have to ask the very legitimate question, Corey, which is what happens if, I'm going to say when, it turns out that economic growth isn't there to support these sky-high asset prices? Well, I think the central banks then have to decide, are they going to become truly the buyer of last resort, print money out of thin air, end up owning everything? And will the people of the various nations allow that? Remember, Central Bank of the United States, the Federal Reserve, is now the largest landlord in America, courtesy of $1.75 trillion of mortgage-backed securities it bought with money it made out of thin air.
Well, that's terrifying when you think about that stat, Chris. But you know what? Unfortunately, we are out of time for this radio segment. Chris and I did continue our conversation that is posted in its entirety on our website, www.kereport.com, in the weekend show posting. So visit our website, click on the weekend show, and you can hear the full interview. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition and the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I have on the line with me Valentin Schmidt, the business editor of the Epoch Times. And Valentin, there's one area that I actually look at you as an expert in, and in a sense that this area has become very popular. We've gotten many, many comments on our website. I wanted to get your synopsis, your rundown on how you feel about cryptocurrencies, more specifically Bitcoin. There are a number of these different currencies out here, but the Bitcoin price has really been skyrocketing this year. Currently, one Bitcoin is worth over $2,700 US dollars. So Bitcoin continues to outperform. Can you take us through, A, what first interested you with Bitcoin and why you remain actually a very close follower?
Hey, Corey, thanks a lot for having me. And of course, being an expert is relative. I know people who have been following Bitcoin since 2010 and bought them at 10 cents. I don't know whether they sold before, but if they didn't, they made a lot of money. I first noticed the phenomenon in early 2013. I don't know if you remember, they had the Cypriotic Banking Act lockdown. The depositors were locked out, and that's when Bitcoin first charged above 100, because I heard that all the Russians were using it. And then I've been writing about Ethereum. I wrote a big article in 2014, even before it came out, interviewing the founders. But it wasn't really until, well, let's say late 2015, I noticed that the price was picking up, probably because the Chinese then used it. You know, I follow China closely too. The Chinese use it to bring money out of the country as well. But it wasn't until the early, middle 2016 until I really understood why Bitcoin is so appealing in terms of a hard money perspective. And for that, you have to understand the Austrian theory of money and the liquidity theory. So what's the best good to use for money? It's the most liquid in time and in space. And what provides liquidity? It's the same for gold. Why is gold so popular? And why has it been money for such a long time, chosen by private actor, chosen by the marketplace? Because it's divisible, easily recognizable, it's relatively easily transferable, it concentrates a lot of value in little space, and it's you can change it. I mean, you can make different things out of it. So that's why it's very liquid. And silver, to a sec, oh yeah, you can't destroy gold. That also works in its favor. Silver is, you know, corrosive, and there's more of it, so it has slightly lower value. And then in time, why does gold have value in time? Because you can't destroy it, and because you can't multiply it in a crazy fashion. Of course, there's new gold being mined, but that's about it. And now, if you transfer this theory into the digital space, then Bitcoin has exactly the same properties, and some of them better than gold, some of them worse than gold. So Bitcoin is infinitely divisible. It's easily recognizable by the computers. It's easily transferable, much easier than gold. So you have the divisibility, the recognizability. You cannot change it, but that's not necessary because you don't have to forge like different coins. So, you know, you can buy or sell it, thousands of a Bitcoin. Easily transferable. And obviously for the digital space, and that's why it's called a cryptocurrency, so it has to do with cryptography. It's relatively secure. There's still issues. There have been issues for Bitcoin. I think they're mostly solved. And then what about time? Why is it liquid in time? Because like gold, there is actually a predefined, for Bitcoin it's predefined, there's a certain number of coins which come on the market in 100 years or so. I think it's about an inflation of 1 or 2% per year, so about the same as gold. So you have the same liquidity preferences, but you have it in the digital era. And that's why it makes it interesting in terms of hard money, because it has the same properties as gold. Now, people say, okay, but I can touch gold. It's tangible. And my friend, I have to give credit to him, Trace Mayer, who is an early follower of Bitcoin. He says, well, what does tangible actually mean? It means that it follows a certain law. And gold follows chemical laws, and Bitcoin follows mathematical laws. So it is tangible in the digital world. And then you have a big, you know, a difference to gold and all the other currencies, which makes it interesting as an asset, is that it's cheap. Yes, the price has gone up, what, I don't know, 200% this year, but the total market cap is still $60 billion. Now, you have $10 trillion in gold, you have $100 trillion in U.S. dollar electronic credit or whatever, another 80 in euros, another 60 in yen, another 40 in yuan. That's a lot, and Bitcoin, frankly, is the cheapest, and it has a valid case for being an alternative currency, independent of the government, independent of the banking system, and that's why people like it. And of course, once the price starts going up, and once it gets to a certain critical mass, then you've got all the media covering it, everybody's talking about it, and that's why it's so hot right now. But frankly, if people weren't so upset with the fiat currency and the government and the banks, Bitcoin wouldn't be that as popular. Very simple.
So, Valentin, when you look at the Bitcoin market, there's been a debate as to whether Bitcoin is an actual currency or whether it is simply an investment market. How do you weigh the two, and where do you stand on that argument?
Okay, that's interesting. So for me, Bitcoin is money. Yes, it uses blockchain as a technology, and blockchain can be used for other technologies, like gold can be used for other purposes. You know, you can make jewelry out of gold. I don't care about the jewelry. I care about gold as money. And I care about Bitcoin as money. And of course, money, oh, that's another thing that I forgot in terms of the liquidity. Of course, money is liquid if you can use it in the marketplace. So the more people accept it, the more merchants accept it, the more liquid it is. But in a way, that's again the same with gold. I don't go, you know, with my gold coin, and I don't go to the grocery store and buy stuff because they don't take it, or they only take it at the face value of $50 or whatever, which is ridiculous. So, and gold money to a certain degree has solved that problem, but then they are, you know, tied to the banking system, which is slightly contradictory. But anyway, so Bitcoin is money. Ideally, it will be used as a medium of exchange. However, you know of Gresham's law, and that is when there's bad money in circulation, and there's a lot of it, it pushes out the good money, which will be hoarded. And that's why everybody's hoarding Bitcoin right now, and only few people use it as a limited extent as a means of payment. But the payment infrastructure is actually quite impressive. With BitPay, there's a lot of providers which are accepting Bitcoins, and you can use it, and people do use it. Maybe not as fast, because people prefer to hoard it, which makes sense in this environment. But yeah, at the end of the day, it is money, and it can be used as an alternative form of money outside of the banking system.
So, Valentin, how important is China to this whole Bitcoin story? Because a lot has been said that the Chinese people are using Bitcoin to get their money out of the country and as a further diversifier, not just using gold, but now using Bitcoin. Where do you find that China fits into this equation?
No, absolutely. And in fact, all the Asians, the last drive apparently was driven by Koreans and Japanese, who paid huge premiums on their exchanges because they're also fed up with their fiat system. But the Chinese especially are fed up, and they diversify into Bitcoin. And the Chinese, they like gambling, so anything that goes up, they buy it. And China, don't forget, is also the biggest terms of the exchanges, and by now has almost monopolized the mining. The biggest miners are also in China because they get subsidized electricity. So China is very important for Bitcoin, which is a bit of a problem because it's still a communist country, and the idea of Bitcoin is that you have it decentralized and the whole network is decentralized and the community makes decentralized decisions. But there's still a risk, at least to some degree, that the Chinese may take it over, although it's going to cost them more and more effort and energy as the network grows.
All right. Well, Valentin, unfortunately, we're out of time, but we're going to continue this conversation in the upcoming couple weeks because, as I mentioned, there is a lot of interest on our site regarding Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, and maybe we'll dive more into how this whole blockchain technology works, as well as how Bitcoin will continue to play a bigger and bigger role, I believe, in everybody's daily life. So, Valentin, thank you for your time. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Yesterday, I got a call from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. If you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes, call now for a free and confidential tax debt analysis. Call Coast One now for a free consultation at 800-643-4661 now. 800-643-4661. That's 800-643-4661.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. Can you afford to repair or replace your air conditioning when it stops working this summer? Or worse, a major plumbing problem? With National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. If you own a home, you can stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get 1 month of repair coverage for free. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems, so you have no more costly repair bills. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
To wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Hope everyone has enjoyed the conversation so far in the finance and economics side of our show. Again, the second hour is going to be focused on KER politics. That being said, one thing we haven't covered too much so far in this first hour has been the precious metals. On the line with me, I have Chris Vermeulen. He is the gold and oil guy. And Chris, let's focus on gold, because to start off the week, gold was looking very strong. It was moving up. A lot of people were saying it was a sure thing that it was going to break through that $1,300 level and just continue to possibly scream higher. Some of the good technical factors that we saw in play was a break above this longer-term downtrend line. But to wrap up the week, gold drifted back lower, on average about $5 to $10 a day. As it's looking, as we're recording this right before the close on Friday, gold is looking at putting in its first weekly loss in more than a month. What do you think happened in the gold sector this week, Chris?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show, Corey. It's the same kind of thing. Not a whole lot has really changed from really about a month or so ago, kind of figuring that gold was going to put in some type of bounce and was going to rally up. And I had a feeling, I didn't think it would quite reach up to a double top here, which is more or less, I think, what we're seeing is that 1300 mark, a double top from about 2 months ago. But I think what we're seeing today is, you know, gold came up to 1300. It's a whole number. A whole number is if you don't know what it is, it's a solid number that investors see. It's like a clear, it's like in a dollar stock, you'd be like, when it hits $1, there's going to be people saying, I'm taking profits at $1. If it hits $5, I'm going to sell a bunch of position. Well, 1300 is a whole number. It's a solid round number. And it's also, more or less, it's kind of a triple top. We had that level hit back in November. It hit again in April, and it hit again this week, and we're seeing some pretty big selling move into the market. And, of course, it's coupled with the dollar being oversold, trading at support, and the dollar's had a nice bounce here the last couple of days, and gold's going in the opposite direction. Now, short term, it's bearish for gold. Looking at this price action, it's a pretty strong kind of move down. But still, key short-term support levels are still holding up across the board for more or less gold, silver, and miners. So there isn't a lot of big technical damage done. This was nothing more than price rallied up, started to expand, and just ran into a resistance zone. And it's more or less a technical pullback. Now, if we get much more of a pullback from here next week, then I think we're actually going to be heading quite a bit lower, and gold's lower end of their range will be around the 1240 mark. So right now we're at 1272, so there's pretty good potential drop there.
Well, so far this year, we saw gold consistently put in higher highs and higher lows, two or three on either side of those. And this recent top out, I guess you could say on a daily closing basis, gold was able to take out that recent high in the middle of April, but still it did not take it out very strongly and immediately reversed. So now looking to the lower side, as you mentioned, it's pretty crucial that we hold that recent low that we put in at the beginning of May, right around, let's say, 1218. That's crucial, isn't it?
It is, for sure, yeah. And you know, if you were to connect these recent lows, there's three higher lows since January. If you were to connect those in gold, it creates a support trend line. And really, gold should find support somewhere between 1240, depending on how long it takes to get down, 1240 to 1233. Somewhere in that area. So, and that's higher. That's above that May pivot low. So there's kind of going to be two levels, two critical support levels for gold before I think some big damage is done. So it's got the support trend line, which should act as some type of bounce, at least an intraday bounce. If it breaks and closes below that, it needs to hold above that May low that you just talked about, because if that May low is taken out, I think we're going quite a bit lower to test those December lows again.
So, Chris, what about the significance of what I mentioned on the intro here is that long-term downtrend line that you can draw starting back in 2011, heading the whole way down. Gold tested it in 2016, tested it again a couple months ago, and when it reached its peak this week, it did just marginally exceed that downtrend line. Do you put any significance in this?
I do. It looks good. It definitely hit its head on resistance and it's reversing down. I don't put a ton of significance into it because I'm not so much trading a time frame that is, you know, 4-5 years old. That's a pretty slow moving look. But when eventually gold does break, and even if gold trades sideways here for a couple months, it's going to break through that trend line. And I think it will be a significant turning point for the market. I think that is just another sign saying, okay, this downward trend is now actually showing signs of strength. It's actually lost its downward trajectory. It's breaking through that and trading sideways now. So, you know, we talked about this early this year, and I think even last year, that gold has got and precious metals have got a lot of work to do to break out of this major basing formation. And gold to me isn't really going to be will not have broken out until it closes more or less above the 1400 per ounce mark. So we're a long ways from there. But that long trend line you have, it definitely is significant. We're at that level. Every time it's hit that, we've seen a massive sell-off in gold. So, you know, there's no reason why, you know, we can't see another drop and sell-off to our short-term support trend line or the May low. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Well, I think more than anything, this is at least showing that maybe this long-term downward move that we've been in gold is coming to an end. And you can make that argument from the tail end of 2015, but man, that run that we had in 2016, again, has put that $1,400 level on the table. That gold is still a long way away from that. It's going to take some time. One other quick discussion that I want to have with you here, Chris, is the sell-off that we saw in the U.S. equity markets at the end of yesterday, Friday. There was this big sell-off in tech. The NASDAQ was down over 3% at one time on no concrete news that I could see, other than maybe just investors getting a little tired of holding those positions. What's your take on what we saw at the end of Friday?
Yeah, you know, it's deceiving. I stepped out ran some errands, came back. The market was perfectly fine when I left. I don't know how the market can do this. Every time I go away on holidays or something, something crashes.
I hear
but
you.
I come back to the computer and I look at my screen. I'm like, holy crap, how is the NASDAQ down 3.6%? And this is the biggest red bar I've seen in a long time. Massive volume. You look at the sectors. Technology is definitely the leader, and NASDAQ is heavy weighted. I just quickly pulled up a bunch of big brand names just to see if, you know, one of them is crashing, and all of them are crashing with a mirror image. So to what it looks like to me is there is some just broad market, some big money rotating out of the tech sector. And I think it's just a massive profit taking, and I just have a feeling it's somebody with a really fat thumb who wants to just unload really quick for whatever reason it is, and they're just crashing the market. And what goes usually straight down comes straight back up. And we've already, you know, by the end of the day, you know, the lows that we saw on Friday rebounded pretty strong. And the interesting thing was the small caps, the Russell 2000, outperformed the entire day, being the strongest area. So speculative money is not moving out of the market, which is very interesting. It's just strictly somebody, some big fund, somebody unloading a lot of tech stocks from the looks of it.
Well, and that's what's going to be interesting to see is starting next week, is this again looked at as a buying opportunity? Even intraday, as you said, we are off our lows. It was just fascinating to see the VIX trading again in single digits and then popping at one point up over 20%. So maybe a little bit of fear coming into the market, but don't you find that still these sell-offs, again, are buying opportunities? As much as money is rotating, it's rotating within risk-on assets, isn't it?
It is. You know, it is. Money is rotating into small caps. This past week, big money moved into small caps. And the financial sector, the XLF, up huge. It rallied massive on Friday against the grain of all the downward pressure. And it broke out to a significant level that it looks like the XLF is on a tear. And it's about to start having another massive run. We're going to see a huge, I think, gain in the finance sector.
Well, what we get to do next week is watch and see what comes out of the Fed, not so much in terms of maybe a rate hike, but in terms of what their forward guidance is. Because, again, the economic data has been weak, especially on the jobs front, and we've seen a downtick in inflation. So if this all continues to play into what the Fed's looking at, maybe we will see a little back off of any sort of very hawkish talk in terms of another rate hike. But then again, something that we're watching closely is the unwinding of the balance sheet, if they're going to continue to talk this up and seemingly almost get the markets prepared for it. That's going to be the big drivers of news this week coming up. Last week, you know what, I was surprised to not see all that much news shake the markets on Thursday, but we had a little bit of movement on Friday there. So, hey, it's been an interesting week already, and Chris, I appreciate you joining us. Everyone go check out Chris's website, thegoldenoilguy.com, and stick around for KER Politics.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply, or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now, earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk. o'clock.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get it all.
I'll get the kids.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.